that the servants had come, the husbandsmen abused the servants. Then he said he would send his son. And top page 226, second column, he had yet one, a beloved son. He did not become the son of the owner by being sent. Rather, was he sent because he was the son. Then there came the decision to kill the heir. Let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. And they slew him. Now, I'm going to take that this is no picturesque language right here, that those Jewish leaders actually saw their jobs, their prestige, their everything that they had was in jeopardy right there, and they were going to keep it. Now this brings us to another situation. Now you've heard me say it before, but there is nothing as dirty as low down religious practices.
You know, it comes out plainly and says in the Gospels that the Jews were afraid in one place. I don't specifically, I can't think of it right now. But it said that the Jews were afraid that the Caesars, the Roman Empire, would take away their religion and their government. So they said, let's kill him, lest he cause this problem.
In other words, they wanted to still be the puppets, didn't they? They wanted to be the puppet. Yeah.
They knew it.
Yeah, I'm convinced more and more, brother, that there at least were some of the leaders of the scribes and Pharisees who knew who he was.
Well, in session, God overpowered Caiaphas and caused him to prophesy and say Jesus was the prophet, and that he would die only not for the Jews. Necessary, but he'd also died for the Gentiles, and they would be at it.
Yeah, that's right.
Right there, I mean, the Lord made him regardless. He didn't want to. Like I said here a while back somewhere, I said he was probably spending all the time he was doing it.
Yeah.
He knew that, but he didn't say it.
It's kind of a situation similar to old Balaam, wanting to go out there and curse the children of Israel, and instead everything went out there was a blessing that he pronounced upon them. So on. And there you have this situation. Now you take right now. I'm watching this thing as fairly close as I can. I wish I took the U.S. News World Report right now and to keep up with some things a little closer than what I am. But the situation over there with Iran and Afghanistan, nursing the vote in the UN last night, Russia voted against sanctions against Iran. Russia is behind Iran. And what do you find there? And it's becoming more and more apparent that this so-called Ayatollah over there is nothing but a communist dupe. I've got it in print at the house that the one who went into exile years ago into France only had 9 fingers, but the one that's over there now has got 10 fingers. And so there you are. Now, what does all of that add up to? Well, it's causing us to have to send a man over to work as closely in Western Europe as possible, and almost going to the point of asking NATO to come in. They say they will not go that far, but going to try to get those sanctions going in. Now, what we're seeing here, brethren, is a thing that's throwing those Western European countries closer together, which thing we believe will become an allied confederacy upon which the Antichrist will seize at some particular time. And so I think it's a very important thing. But behind the whole thing is this, that there is your Muslim religion that's behind. And old Russia, who is supposed to be atheistic and all of that, of course, atheism is a religion. It's a godless religion. Communism is one of the worst forms of political religion there is on the face of the earth. And it is more of a religion, actually, than it is of a political situation.
You know, getting back to what we talked about a little bit while ago, Brother Braun, you know, the Bible, many people are confused, where it says that Paul later said that if they knew who they were crucifying, they would have not crucified the God of glory. But it says this faith many, many times in Stephen's sermon and in other places, that those religious leaders knew who they were crucifying.
Yeah.
They know who he was. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But they didn't want him to say simply that they knew what was going to happen if they didn't accept him as Messiah. They would lose their governmental and religious standing that they were in. But the common man, ignorantly crucified the Messiah.
Right here.
Well, the one that was hot and let his blood be on us and on our children, David was one of them.
That's right.
Well, but the common people, though, a lot of the common people were ignorant because they were following these leaders. And now that is the thing, brethren, we can draw a personal lesson for ourselves right here. In my studies, I'm coming more and more to see I'm your superior. So they said, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance, and they slew him. Now, after the utmost forbearance on the part of the owner of this vineyard and his solicitude to obtain the tribute which the people owed, he risked his son, concluding they would have respect for him, surely, and they would yield him his deserved place, because actually Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Christ, is the Messiah. The word Jehovah simply means the one who is, who will become. And they knew that, if they just paid attention to what the word was saying. But they filled up the measure of their iniquity. And Paul and the Lord told them that they were going to do that very thing. Up the measure of their iniquity by basely putting him to death. Afterwards, now get this. Peter charged the Jewish rulers with the murder of Jesus. Who has Acts 2:23 right handy that you could turn right there and read it, please?
Him being delivered to the condemnation, confidence of foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands, by the hand of lawless men, have crucified and slain.
Wonder who that ye is. You see? All right. And now, get this. I don't care how many Roman Catholic councils they can have to say that the Jew was blameless in the death of Jesus Christ, since everything else they got to build on a lie. Might as well put this one out too. Peter tells them right there on the day of Pentecost that they slew Jesus Christ. How brave and fearless it was of Jesus to confront his foes and predict that they would kill him and try to seize the vineyard. Someone turn to Acts 4, verses 25 and verse 27. First and find it, read it. Acts 4, verses 25 and 27. Am I saying Acts 4? Am I saying that right?
Acts 4, that's right.
And the one of the Father of us, through the Spirit holy, in his mouth, in the mouth of David, the servant of you, having said, why snorted the nations and peoples devised the vain thing? And 2:7?
And verse 27.
Oh, and 27.
Yeah.
For assembled upon the truth in the city of this against the holy servant of you, Jesus, whom you did anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the nations of the people.
All right. See right there? Now, here's the point. Now, notice here the term inheritance. Inheritance. The term inheritance expresses the full title to lordship. Now, I hope over a period of time, it'll take that and maybe a good long time, and I don't know where we'll ever get a full concept of it until we stand there when it's a reality. And that is the whole earth, according to Paul in Romans chapter 8, groaning in travail in birth pangs right now, waiting for what? The manifestation or the showing forth of the sons of God, who are the mature sons of God, the heirs of that thing, brother. And when the heirs are there, the earth's going to respond. That lets us show a little something about something that's crouched in those words given to old Adam back yonder. He planted the garden, put him in it, and so on, and then told him to tread down the earth, make it respond to him. Oh, my, what this earth could have been had sin not entered into it. But what it's going to be through the process of redemption. And just as soon, brethren, as our bodies are changed, provided we suffer with him, whether it be by resurrection or translation, when we stand forth, something's going to happen to this whole earth.
Speak a while ago, I was thinking how everything is so wrong. Now, I look at the people that are in leadership today, and back just by that reason. And I look at even down the individuals. If you take a person that's out and out from Christ, they always wind up the wrong man, the woman, my husband, vice versa. Everything is blocking everybody.
Yeah.
And like Paul Lewis said, you got a church, you go grab a name from the church. But we are the church. So we come outside, we light up our cigarettes, we chew, back and spit all over the place. But yet, in the church, we got more concern for the building than we do the body. The building. And so now, it's all right for you to go out and dance in another building and come back and say, oh, I wouldn't dance in the church. What are we talking about? That's not foolish people. Are.
Well, and that isn't all, folks. Some of the very simplest things that you and I may be made stewards of, we are to guard every aspect of it. Let me show. And so the term inheritance expresses the full title to lordship. And his murderous thought that with him dead they might be able to constrain the divine law to subserve their own interest and ambition and regain their lost honor and influence as a result of Christ's exposure. They set a watch upon his sepulchre in case he should rise again as he said he would, and exert still greater authority. Then Jesus went on to ask the question, when the Lord of the harvest comes, what will he do to those husbandmen, passing a righteous sentence on themselves? The Pharisees said, he will miserably destroy those wicked men. A sentence executed when the Romans destroyed Jerusalem and the people were cut off from the privileges which for thousands of years they had possessed. Caught in the grip of the depravity of their own hearts, those rulers saw themselves as being wicked. A word the dictionary describes as being evil in principle and practice, deviating from or contrary to the moral or divine law, or to morality or religion, addicted to vice or sin, vicious, sinful, depraved. How true such a designation was of those who crucified the Lord glory. Because God never leaves his vineyard in wicked hands, there came the transfer of his vineyard to others. He will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen. The Pharisees, without knowing it, passed judgment on themselves and are now informed not only of their fate, but of the cessation of their privilege. The kingdom of God was to be taken from them and from the nation they represented and given to other nations, which the Lord of the harvest hoped would prove to be more fruitful. Did not our Lord forecast here the casting off of the Jews, which Paul refers to in Romans 11, verses 15 through 23? Prophecy teaches that the vineyard will be once again entrusted to Israel. What was the other nation to do with to which authority over God's interest passed? Was it not the church which Peter describes as a holy nation, and John speaks of as a kingdom, 1 Peter 2 and 9, Revelation 1 and 6? The nation consists of all regenerated persons and is constituted on a different principle and held together by different bonds. It is not after the flesh, but after the Spirit that citizenship is obtained in the Christian commonwealth, in which saved Jews and Gentiles are one. But now right here, let me stop. We are told to crucify the flesh. We've still got it, brethren, even this chosen.
You get the kingdom of God, the family of God, that's what
the church is. Yeah. These often do that. That's where we had to be very careful and make some clarifications and some things as we go on. All right, yet the church, more highly privileged than Israel, must beware lest she forfeit her position. Okay, go read your messages to the seven churches of Asia. How solemn is the warning, I will move thy lampstand out of its place. Revelation 2 and 5. Revelation 3 and 16. Declaring the doom of those about to kill him, Jesus said that a stone would grind them to powder. Was he not the great cornerstone whose very greatness and majesty caused the evil craftsmen to refuse? In stern language, using prophecies of old, he declared his own kingly judgment in Isaiah 8 verses 14 to 15. His foes and rejectors were to be broken and ground to powder as the crushing of Gentile monarchies Daniel foretold. Daniel 2, 34 and 35. I was looking at a part of a broadcast last night on the number of Nazi war criminals who managed to escape to the United States. And it's been a part of them in some pretty prominent jobs here in places in the United States. Well, every once in a while, they'd throw back and show you the piles of skulls and so on over there that they killed and so on, enough to make you turn your stomach. All right. The nation's doom is set forth with the fearful solemnity of its poetic utterance. Did you never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same has become the head of the corner. This is the work of the Lord, and wonderful in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof, and whoever shall fall against this stone shall be bruised, and on whose ever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Israel fell on the stone and was broken. Nearly long the same stone will fall on a hypocritical and apostate Christendom. Now don't forget that. And break the image in pieces. After listening to their pronounced doom, the Pharisees, perceiving that Jesus had revealed their horrible guilt, would have laid hands on him right there and then killed him. But they feared the reaction of the multitude who had come to take him as a prophet. Was he not the prophet raised up of Jehovah, Exodus 29, and who is now revealing his authority not only as a prophet but as God's son and heir? Thus, as Campbell Morgan says, this parable and others to follow reveal his authority. That authority is demonstrated by the line of accomplishment of the revelation of truth. His restoration of a lost order. This was the purpose of his presence in the world. Now there's where it comes in your eternal purpose and your kingdom study, brethren, if you want to carry it on to the ultimate of God's purpose. Right there. All right. And that brings us to the end of that, and so we can well see how this parable of it's one of judgment, but we're fixing to get to see a few more as we near the time of the crucifixion. And watch just a little more. Now, next time, we'll notice the parable of the marriage feast and the garment. Our time is about up. Is that right? Okay, any comment? The bell rings. I missed that and the other because this man was challenging.
Hey, that's mayor.